The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Broadcasting live from the Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center.
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
Armstrong and Getty.
And now, here's Armstrong and Getty.
Live from Studio C, a dimly lit room deeper than the bowels of the Armstrong and Getty Communications Compound, and we're kicking off a Friday episode. Friday! As you head into the weekend of debauchery, immorality, hedonism. Or not. I don't have any of that planned, because I've got two kids I'm taking care of, and it'll probably be like, you know, wholesome bike rides and watching a kids movie and stuff like that. But some of you degenerates, your weekends and your hedonism. I know what you have planned. I've seen your lifestyles. It's disgusting. You should take a little hard look at yourself. We'll probably even go to church Sunday morning. So, yes, am I laying myself out as having a superior, higher level of life than you with your debauchery? Yes. Yes, I am.
Fifth of Hennessy.
Exactly. Crank up the music, Michael. It's debauchery right here. Listen to this horn section. Pow, pow. Oh, so close. I just saw the highlight from last night. I'd heard about it, but I hadn't seen the highlight. So Mike Judge of the New York Yankees is up at the plate. Hits a long one. It's deep. It's back. This will tie the all-time record. Ah, oh, it's a foot short and the guy catches it. Here's what should have happened. The outfielder should have let the ball bounce off of his head into the stands. He should have taken one for the team, been part of history, let the ball bounce off your head into the stands for the 61st home run and make history. That's what I think should have happened there. We'll play that clip a little bit later. Joe is attending a golf tournament or something like that this weekend. One of the, you know, your big, giant, sea famous people golf tournament. So, but I have a bunch of guests lined up on a variety of topics I look forward to talking about. It is a big day in the most important story in the world, in my opinion, which, of course, is the war in Ukraine. And three things have happened in a 48-hour period that are really quite extraordinary, given the results of the last couple of weeks, where Russia's getting their asses kicked, and we played the clip of General David Petraeus saying the war is no longer in doubt. It's clear who's going to win. It's just how it's going to play out. So I don't know if Vladimir Putin feels that way or not, but here are the three things that have happened in 48 hours that should worry y'all. One, he gave his speech where he threatened using nuclear weapons. He does have the largest nuclear stockpile on Earth. Nobody seems to think that's actually much of a threat, but he is a caged beast and he might be a crazy person. We don't know that, but that's the least of the worries, weirdly enough. Nuclear holocaust. The other two things that are happening, though, the draft has begun. Have you seen any of the videos out of Russia? First of all, that's real. But right off the bat, when Putin announced the other day that he was going to call up 300,000 people, of course, he claimed he was going to call up 300,000 people that have military experience. That has since changed, as I expected it would, very quickly. And they're just calling up whoever. You know, if you're a 40-year-old man, you're going over. If you're a 22-year-old man, you're definitely going over, no matter whether you've had military experience or not. And so right off the bat, one-way flights out of the country were booked up. You couldn't get a seat on a plane as young men tried to flee the country. Now people are trying to drive and walk out of the country. I don't know if you've seen the pictures of the border with Georgia, not the state with the Atlanta Braves, but the country next to Russia. Miles long line of traffic, people in cars, people on foot trying to get out of Russia so they don't get sent to fight in Ukraine. You know, here's a uniform, here's a gun, go die for your country. They are loading people up in buses as we speak. Those videos are out there. Also with moms crying, hugging their young men as they get on a bus to head off to fight a disastrous war. And then the third thing that is happening as we speak also, the referenda that are happening in four different areas of Ukraine, where the Russians are having this certainly fake vote of whether or not these four regions want to join Russia as a country. So how fake is the vote? Well, one, why would you believe that Vladimir Putin is going to honestly tally up the results and say, oh, darn, I was really hoping they'd vote to leave Ukraine, but they didn't. And by 51% to 49%, in a stunning surprise, it looks like Luhansk has decided to stay in Ukraine. So that's not going to happen. Not only that, they're going door to door. It's compulsory voting. They're going door to door with a Russian policeman at their side. So you open the door, there's a big Russian cop with a gun, a taser, and a billy club, I'm sure. And they say, how would you like to vote? And then you got to make your decision then. So, one, they're intimidating people. Two, they're going to tally them up in such a way that they're going to announce that all four regions, lo and behold, have voted to join Russia. That amounts to between 15 and 18% of Ukraine, depending on who I'm listening to at the time. So it's called 15%. So what is that, a 7th? Of the country will all of a sudden belong to Russia? And Putin has already announced in the same war where he threatened with nuclear weapons that at that point, any attack by the Ukrainians in their own country, but now in Russia, would be considered an attack on Russia, which is his justification for the war. So it doesn't matter if the world isn't buying the vote or not. That's what's going on. So Putin has so not read the room on this, as I heard Admiral Stravitis say earlier on one of the cable news channels. We've played him a lot. He was former NATO commander. He said Putin isn't doubling down, he's tripling down. So he has this disastrous couple of weeks where he's just losing tanks and high-tech equipment and soldiers and food and uniforms and all this, and the tide has turned and the outcome is no longer in doubt. And does he try to find an off-ramp, a way to save face, declare victory and come home or anything? Nope, he triples down with the nuclear threat, with the 300,000 person call-up, and this phony vote, all within a 48-hour period. I don't think you can overstate the dangerous moment that this is in history. There's a great article by David Ignatius in the Washington Post today. It is Biden's Cuban Missile Crisis. We are getting to that point. How do you deal with the guy? How serious is he? How do you find a way out? So it's something. I don't know at what point they're going to announce the vote there in Ukraine and say, gosh darn it, these four provinces decided to leave and now they're part of Russia. So what are you going to do? Yeah, and you really ought to check out the videos, the young men getting on those buses to head off to war. Woo! I think it makes Vietnam look like it was a great idea at the end. Because you could make a point with Vietnam that we were trying to hold back, you know, the communists. You can easily make that point. It's a good one. I don't know what point you could possibly make or why you're going over to Ukraine to fight. Those guys getting on those buses, they don't look very happy. They're wishing they were in line there at the Georgia border with their friends, escaping the country. Of course, I don't know what you do once you get out of the country. You take a one-way ticket to where and do what? But it's better than going to Ukraine and dying, shot with your own tanks. by somebody wearing one of your uniforms. It's really quite the story. Anyway, we've got more on that coming up later. We should probably start the show officially. That's a very important thing to do on a Friday. I don't want to. Sometimes I get a foul of the FCC. I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty on this. It is a Friday, September 23rd, the year 2022. We're Armstrong and Getty, and we approve of this program. Let's start the show at, I'm watching the clock at, Mark.
If Russia stops fighting, the war ends. If Ukraine stops fighting, Ukraine ends.
Pretty good line from Secretary of State Blinken in front of the UN yesterday. It's that simple. If Russia stops fighting, war's over. If Ukraine stops fighting, they cease to exist. So they don't have any choice. Russia does have a choice. It's all on Russia, which is why only 7 countries voted yesterday against allowing Zelensky to give his UN address virtually. So 7 countries said he shouldn't be allowed to give an address to the UN. And they're all bad countries. Belarus, which is on the border with Russia and has a puppet leader that Putin installed. Cuba, we all know about Cuba. Eritrea, which ask your doctor about Eritrea. Take Eritrea today for your blood pressure. I don't know anything about Eritrea. Nicaragua, North Korea, Russia, and Syria. Those are their friends. 101 yes votes for Zelensky to speak at the UN. 7 no votes from the most loathsome countries on earth. So that's what we're dealing with right now. Quite the story. Other things we're going to talk about this morning, what those new interest rates mean to you. Some of the numbers are really quite amazing and a little frightening. I guess if you're, I don't know, like I'm looking, I was about to say, if you're looking to buy a house, I'm looking to buy a house in the next year. Home prices are coming down. I saw a prediction yesterday by one economist. You know, you can find an economist to say anything, but one economist that thought there's a serious crash coming. There's already kind of a semi-crash going among really high-end homes, and it might hit the rest of the housing market. But anyway, it'd have to be a heck of a crash to make up for the fact that interest rates are what they are. Talk more about that coming up a little bit later. We have Clips of the Week on a Friday, which is very exciting. Lots of good stuff. I hope you can stay here. Our text line is 415-295-KFTC. Clips of the Week next.
Armstrong and Getty. The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Did I finish my thought earlier? I don't remember if I did. About the situation you're in if you're looking to buy a house. It's probably pretty obvious to you, but like I'm on the sidelines. Excited that housing prices are coming down and may even crash, but interest rates are going up so much. All right. I can get into some of the numbers or how that will actually affect your payment. Also, boy, if you're carrying a credit card debt, because the credit card adjustable rates on that sort of stuff, they go up with the interest rates going up. If you're carrying a credit card debt, oof. And of course, as a nation, we're carrying a national debt, 30-some trillion-dollar national debt, and the interest goes up on that a lot, too. That's a major story. I have a feeling that's going to poke through one of these days and be like the story for a couple of days. Speaking of which, the Republicans have a whole new plan. Kevin McCarthy came out with yesterday. It's got a name and everything. We'll talk about that with Sarah Westwood next segment. Because similar to Newt Gingrich's contract with America, Kevin McCarthy's announced something, and we'll see what's in it. Do you have friends that send you the memes or the pictures or the whatever, the videos and the photos? You know, your brother or your mom or your friends or whatever. Somebody sent me a picture yesterday of a shark coming out of the water with its mouth open, like this, if you're looking at your radio. Shark's got its mouth open. It says, rare photo of a shark stepping on a Lego. I thought that was pretty funny. It is time for something we do every single week. We call it COW. It's an acronym for a fond look back at the week that was Clips of the Week.
3, 2, 1, lift off. I can't imagine a more beautiful thing. It's cold.
I don't care if you're here.
Be like that, guys. Come on, man.
We have a crisis on the border.
Ron DeSantis is not backing down.
This is nothing more than a stunt, but it's done with intention. Cruel intention. Just from my hometown of Laredo, we're sending out 21 to 26 buses a day.
But no one can seem to put the brakes on inflation. The latest rate, 8.3%.
The 220-page lawsuit accuses Mr. Trump and his family of making more than 200 false and misleading asset valuations.
Claiming you have money that you do not have does not amount to the art of the deal. It's the art of the steal.
The Nikki Haley conversation came up.
There are some of us that can be chameleons and decide not to embrace our ethnicity.
You know, it's not the first time, and it won't be the last time that the hosts at The View come after me.
That's not what happened, what didn't happen, Sharon.
No, there's no way it's changed. There's no way.
She had a plan. Like, she had planned this.
How do you know she had a plan?
She had to have a plan because she called me. I mean, I don't have a plan.
And to be clear, what this is, children being used as props in the sexual fantasies of adults.
Vladimir Putin's war is not going according to plan.
Ukraine will, over time, I think, retake the territory that Russia has seized since 24 February.
So unlike Ukraine, to be clear, sir, U.S. forces, U.S. men and women, would defend Taiwan in the event of a Chinese invasion.
Yes.
Boy, the book about when Biden was younger and sharper includes quotes from Babe Ruth and Herbert Hoover.
Wow.
To show his appreciation to Gen Z, today he made a TikTok video of him doing the mashed potato.
Swing on that. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. He's tied the Babe. It's a Judgian blast.
It's cold. A big lump of gas.
The president left diplomats with this.
Thank you for tolerance for listening to me.
It's Cone. I've become more convinced over the last 2 days, having followed a little of this, that the Trump Mar-a-Lago papers thing, he might be in trouble on that one. I don't know. I still don't know why he was keeping that stuff around his house. Didn't just give it back to avoid all this hassle. But anyway, that might be a real problem. But the one about his overvaluing his stuff is just, even if it's true, the way it's being treated is weird. This sort of thing happens on a regular basis where business people do that. It ends up in court. It takes years for it. It's certainly going to take many months for this to make its way through the courts and everything like that. And to come out and make that sort of announcement, to make it sound like we finally nailed the bastard, it's the art of the steal and all this sort of stuff, it's just weird and clearly politically motivated. If it weren't Donald Trump, the guy who might be president again, they wouldn't have handled that in any close to a similar way. That ain't cool. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. It's Cone. Says that little kid. We ought to play that again. I don't remember what time we played it yesterday. But we ought to play it earlier in the show for anybody who didn't hear it. The cute little kid talking about the corn. I do have one text that I wanted to read to you. Good morning, John and Ken. Oh, wait, wrong show, says this texter. Jack and Joe, thank you both for your wonderful contribution to my boring mornings. I wanted to comment on your segment about the free market and young people who take advantage of the opportunities this system has to offer. I was talking about this the other day. I had a particularly bright, energetic, personable waiter. I thought, I even told the young man, I said, you're going to do fine in life. You're going to go places. I'm sure he thought, all right, old man, just get out of my table so I can get some more people in here. Anyway, the rest of this. I myself started my career scrubbing toilets and mopping floors at the hotel I work at. Now I'm pulling in a six-figure salary and running the same hotel, and I'm not above scrubbing a toilet or two every now and then. Thanks for highlighting that in this country and with the free market at work, anything is possible for those who put in the right amount of time and effort. My Sophocles quote that I've been using so much lately on my kids and others, success requires effort. Pretty simple, but pretty damn true. If you miss an hour, grab the podcast, Armstrong and Getty, on demand.
Armstrong and Getty.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
I've been waiting. Got the latest from Ukraine later. Got some interest rate stuff and the economy stuff that's worth hearing. Variety of other things. Somebody needs to mute their speaker there. Chris Wallace's new show on CNN starts, and some of the interviews he's going to do this weekend are really interesting, including filmmaker Tyler Perry. We have a clip from that that you won't forget. Holy crap. So stay tuned for that. But first, before we get to our guest, Sarah Westwood, a little history lesson. For those of you who are too young or were too stoned at the time to understand what was going on. Back during Bill Clinton's first term, the Democrats had controlled the House. See, if you're younger, the House has been going back and forth now in recent years, and you kind of feel like it's been that way. Back in Bill Clinton's first term, in 1994, when the Republicans were running to try to take the House, the Democrats had controlled the House of Representatives for 40 years. 40 years the Dems controlled the House. There was just some belief that it just always would be, you know, an institution run by Democrats. Newt Gingrich, who wanted to be Speaker of the House, came up with this Contract for America, partially based off a Ronald Reagan speech and some stuff from the Heritage Foundation. And it had a whole bunch of things in it, that things that we promise to do if you elect us to run the House of Representatives. And it was a pretty good political, I'm going to call it, it's definitely not a stunt in any way whatsoever, but maneuver, tactic, whatever, to like really focus people on what they would get out of having Republicans control Congress. Well, it looks like the current guy who would like to be Speaker of the House with the Democrats in charge, Speaker of the House for the Republicans with Democrats in charge, Kevin McCarthy, has put out a piece of paper of his own, and we're going to discuss that with Sarah Westwood, investigative reporter of the Washington Examiner. Sarah, welcome to the Armstrong and Getty Show. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
I hope the little history lesson wasn't too boring for you. What is Kevin McCarthy calling his thing?
This is called the Commitment to America, and you're right, it's sort of modeled after this contract for America that Newt Gingrich unveiled. And I think it's an effort by McCarthy to have a more proactive message heading into the midterms, right? I mean, I think a criticism that you've heard people like Senator Rick Scott over on the Senate side level at Republican leadership is that we are, you know, against all of these things that Democrats are doing. We're running a really oppositional campaign, but we don't really have a clear sense of what we're for these days. Mm. And so this, I think, is to give a sharper, clearer direction for voters as to what they can expect if they elect Republicans. And, you know, I think there's the potential for it to be really smart politics, because you are sort of defining the Republican agenda in the sharpest way that they have so far this election. And that could be helpful to some Republicans out there who are still sort of struggling to find that message to run on.
Sure. It's a, you know, it's a, like a PowerPoint presentation in a conference room or something. So what is he promising? Chicken in every pot? What are some of the whatever you called it, the good things for America contract? What's in it?
Sure. So one of the big ones, obviously, fighting inflation, public safety. These are all sort of organized under, like you said, different slide decks, if you will. An economy that's strong is one category, a nation that's safe, a government that's accountable. But also he's wading into some of the culture war issues with this plan that I think Republicans have found might be in political circles defined as sort of a right-wing causes, but are actually really popular with most Americans, like having girls' sports be the domain of only girls.
Oh boy. Wow. I didn't know that. I didn't know he's going to go there.
He is. And so, you know, I think that while some of those issues are kind of controversial, they are leaning into the most popular of the culture war ideas. And a lot of that is centered around schools. And, you know, again, I think getting all Republicans on the same page, rowing the same direction on some of these issues where Democrats have been defining the conversation is a really good thing for the party. However, he's rolling it out on the same day that early voting is already starting in about 5 or 6 states today.
I mean, wow.
It's the final quarter of the election. And so one does have to wonder if this could have been a more helpful to Republicans if he'd rolled it out.
Yeah, that is a real tough one with the modern politics, and I'm sure both parties are trying to figure it out. Because I mentioned the other day, this past Tuesday, we're 7 weeks from the election. Seems like a long time. And Joe pointed out that, well, for some people, they're like, you know, they're not even 7 days from the election. So, yeah, when do you focus your message? When do you make your final argument? Do you wait for the mass of people in most places who are going to vote that day? Or, yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one.
Yeah, traditionally, right, campaigns would wait until after Labor Day to really ramp up, because that's when voters started paying attention. But now, you know, some of these midterm campaigns started last year. I mean, this campaign, it drags on for a long time. People are engaged a lot earlier. And some, you know, there's a lot of nuances, but in some of the key races, the primaries were much earlier. And so the general election campaigns have been going on for months, and both candidates have had more of a chance to define each other. In other ones, we just got the nominee, you know, in August. And so, like in New Hampshire, for example, and the general election is so much more truncated. So one does have to wonder if, to account for all of those nuances and for the states where candidates were chosen in primaries a lot earlier, a plan like this might have been more helpful a lot earlier. That's what Senator Rick Scott did with his plan that angered a lot of Senate Republicans, but he released it much earlier so that it would have more of an impact and sort of failed in getting Republicans to line up behind his agenda. But I think the idea was the same. We should enter this midterm election contest.
Yeah, well, I understand. I definitely understand the argument of the other side, because most people don't pay attention. The people who don't vote early don't pay attention until it's, you know, gets closer to election day. So you could roll out your big contract with America sort of thing. But if nobody's paying attention, it's not doing any good. So I'm sure over time both parties are going to have to figure this out of when you land with your big messages. Sarah Westwood of the Washington Examiner, we're talking to her. I got to jump into the immigration story. Where are we on that? Is it continue to have legs in Washington, D.C., or is it petering out? Are there going to be more busloads sent to more blue city and state that are sanctuaries to keep things riled up? What do you know?
I think so. I mean, I think it's been so incredibly effective.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, is not happy that Ron DeSantis sends one plane load and gets all the attention when Abbott's been doing it for months to try to get the same message across, sending busloads of immigrants to Washington, D.C. and New York City. I think the benefit and why this was sort of a gamble for DeSantis, because it was controversial, but why it's paying off is that now I don't really see a lot of continuing debate about the ethics of sending those specific migrants to Martha's Vineyard. But the debate has moved on and into even mainstream media realms about the border crisis. I mean, Democrats had been so resistant to having any kind of rational conversation about what to do with all the migrants coming over the border. They sort of hid behind this shield of moral superiority, like they appeared to be the more welcoming people, and that, you know, excluded them from having to participate in a conversation about what to do. And now that the migrants have actually arrived on their doorstep in Washington, D.C., in New York City, in Martha's Vineyard, and they've turned them away, that's sort of invalidated the only tool they had in their arsenal to not have to deal with this issue. And so now they are Democrats facing harder questions. Okay, well, if you don't want them and the border towns can't handle them, what should we do? And those conversations overwhelmingly favor Republicans. And in that way, I think this is an enormously helpful issue for Republicans in the midterms.
Before I let you go, Sarah, I got a bunch of TVs on here in the studio, one of them CNN, where you used to work, and they're running the video like everybody is of the unruly passenger who walks up behind the flight attendant and punches him in the back of the head. Have you seen that video?
I haven't. I thought that was a COVID thing. Is it back? Plane violence?
This one. So that's the reason I brought it up. It's pretty don't run up and hit a guy in the back of the head when he's facing away from you. Come on. If you're going to fight a flight attendant, you got to square up. But anyway, do you know what it was over? It was over. They didn't have any coffee. So I got to say, I don't approve of it, but I got on a Southwest plane the other day flying out of Burbank. And so I'm running late. I'm always running late. And the Starbucks line was long. And I thought, you know, I'm not going to, I'll get coffee on the plane. I got on the plane. They shut the doors. They announced there's no coffee on this plane. Nah. I kind of wanted to punch somebody in the back of the head. Got to admit it.
I had so many regrets.
Yeah. That was rough. Sarah Westwood, thanks for joining us today. You always have the information. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
You bet. She's one of those people, you ask her a question, you know, she's actually done her homework to know what she's talking about. There are journalists, well, we usually have them on once, who you ask them a question outside, slightly outside what they're ready to talk about, and they have no idea because they didn't take any time to look into it. Yeah, it's an ugly video. This guy goes all the way down the aisle, like from the back of the plane, comes up behind a flight attendant who's not looking at all, and punches him in the back of the head and then runs away, which is just a weak move, no matter what the situation. And then the next video is of him having his hands zip tied together as he shuffles along. I think they should have let the flight attendant, you get one free shot, one free, you know, really wind up and give him one while his hands are tied. Because, you know, he had his back to him. I think it's perfectly fair. But as Chris Rock once said about O.J. Simpson, I ain't saying it's right, but I understand. That's what I say about this. You got no coffee on the plane. I get on the plane. It's morning. I'm counting on the coffee. If you're a coffee addict, you know what that's like. I just like to announce it. One bad piece of bad news. We don't have coffee today because the coffee machine's down. So appreciate your. They always say this. I appreciate your understanding. I don't understand. I'm not going to roll over on this. I'm not understanding. So I ran up and I punched several stewardesses and I was let off zip tied. Luckily, nobody got the video. Oh, you can't. That's one thing you can't do. I'd rather one of the engines catches fire, like on that plane. I don't know if you've seen that video from yesterday. I'd rather one of the engines catches fire than you announce you don't have coffee. I'll take that any day. We have much more on the way. Hope you can stay with us. Text line 415-295-KFTC.
Armstrong and Getty.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk 650 KSTE.
Things with social media. Twitter is the best news source that's ever existed. It's also the worst thing that's ever happened to humanity and will doom the planet, and the world will be taken over by feral cats. But for following the news, it would take a long time for the mainstream media to catch up to where airlines are today. Like right this moment, and people who are stuck in lines are tweeting out pictures from around the country, particularly the East Coast. But you know how flying works, how one major hub really gets disrupted. It disrupts the whole country because those delays back up other planes, domino effect. Our friend Tim Sandiford just tweeted out a picture. He's in line in Atlanta, and it looks like the day before Thanksgiving there. He said it's the worst lines he's ever seen, and he's a guy who travels around all the time. Alex, you said your wife's stuck where?
She's stuck in Dulles now. She was in Florida for the last week, but she should have been home last night. It got delayed overnight, medical emergency, something, and then it got delayed this morning.
As a guy who follows the news, do you have any inkling as to what's going on?
I gotta think it's the weather. I think it's that big storm's coming up along the East Coast. Mm-hmm. I think people are just getting out of town.
I mean, Atlanta, I think, is the busiest airport in the world now.
I believe so, yeah.
Past Chicago, and it's the worst lines Tim has ever seen. So if you're flying today, get there extra early. Sounds like a really good idea. Hour two, we're going to talk to Mike Lyons, about what's going on in Ukraine. I mentioned earlier how three major things are happening at the same time. We'll revisit that. But first this, we played this yesterday. A lot of you may have heard of it because it was a giant meme that everybody was forwarding to everybody. Every grandma in the country passed it along on their Facebook page because it's a cute little kid talking about how much he likes corn. But I've heard it twice and I want to hear it again in case you haven't heard of it. It's just a kid being interviewed about how much he likes corn.
For me, I really like corn.
What do you like about corn?
Ever since I was told that corn was real, it tasted good.
Did you think corn wasn't real?
But when I tried it with butter, everything changed. I love corn. I mean, then look at the stem. I can't imagine a more beautiful thing. It's corn!
Can you describe corn to someone who's never tasted it before?
A big lump with knobs. It has the juice. It's the part that mostly makes me like the corn.
How much do you think corn should cost?
$1.
I love the corn. I can't imagine a more beautiful thing. Oh my God, little kids are cute. They are so enjoyable, little kids. The modern world takes stuff like that and turns it into songs. This is one of the songs that came out of that.
For me, I really like corn.
What do you like about corn?
It's corn. A big lump of knobs. It has the juice. It has the juice. I can imagine a more beautiful thing. It's corn. I can tell you all about it. I mean, look at this thing. When I tried it, with metal, anything changed.
It has the juice. It's corn. Oh, dang it, that's cute. So are you following this race in Pennsylvania between this Democrat, John Fetterman, who has been trying to, it's all falling apart on him as we get closer to Election Day. He had portrayed himself as kind of a biker, regular guy, got a shaved head and a gray goatee and wears a hoodie and jeans all the time. I'm just kind of regular biker dude, man. Running against Dr. Oz, who's a quack. So Dr. Oz is a Republican, and this guy Fetterman is the Democrat. And George Will had a great scathing piece in the Washington Post about the Democrat Fetterman the other day, and I don't have it in front of me, but the headline was something like, Dr. Oz starting to look better all the time. It's because when you look into this Fetterman character, man, what a choice you got there in Pennsylvania. He is absolutely something, and Byron York of The Examiner has got another piece out about Fetterman today. John Fetterman, who has first of all, he's like a trust fund kid. He's never had a job really in his life, lived with his parents until way too long, and then has lived off his parents since then, and he's just one of those guys. And, you know, fine, you know, some of it is envy, maybe, that some of us are bothered by that. I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think I'd feel real good about myself if I hadn't, like, left home and, you know, managed to make it on my own. But anyway, Fetterman has a long history of also not paying taxes as a lefty who wants higher taxes and big government programs. Dozens of liens. You know, this is public information if the press wanted to dig into it, but at least the right-wing press is. More than $25,000 currently owed on not paying his taxes. Big supporter of public schools, but the school district has had to sue him for unpaid tax bills. As he's big on the public school, no school choice. We got to get kids into the public schools, but not paying his taxes that allow that to go. And I got a little more on that. He wants more investment in the public, and it takes a village, and we're all pulling together. Except he doesn't pay his taxes. Oh wow, what a piece of work! That's part of the reason that George Will said Dr. Oz is looking better all the time. Nice choice you got there. I suppose if it came down to it, I personally hate Dr. Oz. I won't retell that story, but we had him in studio years ago, and he was, like, really a bully and, like, really tried to push us around, and it's an awful thing. And I hate the guy. Like, I personally hate him. But if I'm a voter in Pennsylvania, Oz is probably going to vote with the Republicans on most of the stuff and, you know, stop another $5 trillion Build Back Better Inflation Reduction Act from happening as a U.S. senator. It's a very, very big deal. I suppose I'd hold my nose and vote for Dr. Oz, certainly over this fake working class Trustafarian, lives with his parents, and even when he gets out on his own, he doesn't pay taxes, doofus. Nice race. Be interesting to see how that one turns out on election day, because it's pretty close, depending on which polls you look at. A lot of races are close like that between questionable candidates around the country. And as Sarah Westwood pointed out, lots of places are starting to vote today. The voting is already beginning. We're going to talk to Mike Lyons. Where are things with Russia? What's the likelihood of using nuclear weapons? How long is it going to take these 300,000 conscripts to actually get out into the field in Ukraine and be fighting the war? I don't think it's as fast as you're being led to believe. If you miss an hour of this show, you can always grab it in podcast form and listen to it at your leisure. Just look for Armstrong and Getty On Demand.
Armstrong and Getty.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.